Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode 296, recorded on September 11th of 2019. On Teams, we have Kale, myself, Cynthia, and our special guest, Josh Nash, today, who will be talking more about Azure Sphere on. But before going into that discussion with Josh, we're going to go over a couple different updates like usual. Kale, do you want to start?
Sure, I got a few of them here. The first one is with our friends from HashiCorp. So we've had them on the podcast a few times. Very, very good partner that we work with very closely. Brendan Burns had put a blog post out here specifically about some cloud native applications they've been working on with us in Azure. So you can take a look at the details. There's the stuff around the service mesh interface that they've been talking about, and they made an announcement around. And there's also the Terraform stuff. For those who don't know, that's a little bit more like our ARM templates, except for more cloud agnostic. So they've been working with us closely to make sure that those match up very closely with the resources we have in Azure. And then there's also some cloud native bundle specifications that they've created for deployment, which are really interesting. So there's a great blog post with a lot of links up to a lot of details about that folks might want to take a look at. The other one I had here was around Microsoft availability for new cloud regions in Germany. So this just came out the other day, and basically talking about some new regions that are available in Germany and some of the evolving needs from the German customers. A few of the bigger ones are called out there, like Deutsche Bank, Telekom, SAP, and some others. So nice write-up there about that, but Azure continuing to grow. Another one that made a lot of headlines this week, folks probably saw on the internet, was Microsoft acquiring Mover. And I don't know if we covered this in the last podcast, but there's a nice write-up about that. There's a lot of stuff on the internet about that. And that's really around migration tools for the cloud, you know, to helping you in that space. So I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But
I think Mover. I've heard people say Mover.
Mover, okay.
But I've no idea.
So it's got a French spin on it, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, great tools for if you're doing migrations. As usual, Microsoft working with a lot of great partners in this space, and this one turned into an acquisition.
Awesome. So I also had two updates myself. One was around our connected vehicle platform. We just had a presence at the Frankfurt Auto Show. One of the examples that was brought up in the article that I thought was very cool is that the goal is to have your conference call ready in your car when you jump on and make sure that your route has good connectivity, because that's definitely something that I run into a lot where I'm on the road and maybe you're on bridge and your network drops. And now that we're moving into an era where we can plan for that, we can plan for background noises where you go through a route that will be a lot quieter. So we're working with a number of different partners across different experiences, and the article goes into more details on the different areas and who we're working with. The other one is around ExpressRoute. So right now we have ExpressRoute expanding into satellite connectivity. So what that means is that we're able to, or Azure is able to reach a lot more customers that used to be in either remote areas or in oil and gas that don't have not necessarily the best connectivity. Now with the help of satellite, almost everyone is able to still utilize ExpressRoute for the dedicated high availability and also the private access that you don't have to go through the public internet. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to all our listeners our special guest, Josh Nash. Josh, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us what you do to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Kale. My name is Josh Nash. I'm principal product planner on the Azure Sphere engineering team. And so in my capacity, as we'll get into what the product of Azure Sphere is, what the offering is in just a moment, my role is to do two main things. First is to be the evangelist to the field and to customers and partners who want to hear a little bit more in greater depth about what we're doing with the product. The second thing is really the core to my job as being product planner is in sharing that and in evangelizing the product, taking feedback back to the engineering team to represent the voice of the customer and the voice of the partner so that we can prioritize things that we have on our backlog to help make sure that the next thing we do is the most important thing that we can do to make an impact where we're working. So very excited to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. So do you want to start with telling us what the Azure Sphere is and what do we use it for?
Absolutely. So Azure Sphere is an end-to-end solution that's designed to help secure connected microcontroller-based devices. There's a few pieces in what I just said there, secure, connected, and microcontroller, some of which may be very obvious and familiar to this audience, some of which probably isn't because it's a novel topic. So let me take each of those pieces a little bit separately. Let me start with microcontrollers. What is a microcontroller is a question I frankly get on a regular basis. A microcontroller are the microchips in the computing power that control devices that are all around us that we don't tend to think as being computers. So if you consider the burglar alarm control panel in your house or a smart light switch or a refrigerator, frankly, is controlled by a microcontroller. Microcontrollers have been around since the 70s. With the exception of things getting smaller and more powerful, the architecture has generally stayed the same since then. And so you essentially have devices that have compute power, some storage, and some memory in them that are essentially general-purpose computing devices that are operating. A few years ago, and I should say about those microcontrollers, security as it relates to a microcontroller-based device for the first 35 or so years of their existence was based on air gap. The fact that they were not connected enabled security at scale because in order to hack one microcontroller-based device, you essentially needed to take physical control over it, figure out how to solder into an endpoint or plug into a serial port. And at that point, you could change what the software was running. But at the end of the day, you've only hacked one device. When you add in connectivity, which is a trend that has been coming over the past few years, adding in that connectivity opens up the world of threats because people can actually access those devices from anywhere. And so as we start to see the trend toward connected appliances and connected product X that is represented by the Internet of Things, when those things become lower and lower powered, the risk increases because the robustness of the software and the hardware solution that's running there simply isn't robust enough to handle all of the traffic that could be coming from an IP-connected device. And so Azure Sphere is answering that call. It started as a Microsoft research project where we sought to understand what are the characteristics that are common across devices that don't seem to get attacked regularly. And Microsoft Research, the team that was working on it, identified seven properties that are consistent across those devices. Characteristics that are common across devices that either don't seem to get attacked or if they do, they can get themselves out of trouble. It includes things like a hardware root of trust. So it requires different hardware to make a device be secure, as well as having a defense in depth software strategy so that the software stack is less susceptible to a sustained attack because of the possibility to handle multiple layers, as well as the ability to compartmentalize pieces of code from each other so that if one application or one component of the software is attacked, it doesn't mean that a hacker can own the entire device. And then there's a cloud layer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask one question there. So on the microcontrollers, you started off talking about that. My question would be for our listeners, does that mean Microsoft is creating the microprocessor, or is this something microcontrollers, or is this a spec or something that other vendors are implementing?
That's a great question. So Azure Sphere is hardware, software, and services. All three pieces make an Azure Sphere solution. Microsoft played a strong role in designing the secure components of the hardware that are part of an Azure Sphere certified microcontroller, but we don't actually manufacture. There is a manufacturer, MediaTek, who makes the first Azure Sphere certified chip. The MediaTek MT3620 is the SKU for that chip, if you're looking up information about it. And that includes what we call the Pluton security subsystem, as well as some silicon-enabled firewalls and Wi-Fi connectivity built right into the chip. NXP is another partner of ours who have announced earlier this summer that they are going to be bringing a variant of their IMX8 chip to the market. Once that comes to market, they will have a variant of it that is Azure Sphere enabled to help bring Azure Sphere security to their customer base. And so we're starting to see a drumbeat of silicon partners who are jumping on the train with us to enable the hardware part, where then Microsoft has developed a custom version of an operating system designed for such small devices, as well as a cloud service, which is really the last three properties of the seven properties, that enables an authentication and attestation process, as well as the cloud service serves as a listening point for failure reports or error reports coming off the device, and a distribution point for updates that could be driven by a security patch or the need to enable a security patch at the OS or application layer. But it also could enable feature enhancements to be distributed at scale to devices. So when you think with security first, there's actually a lot of benefit that comes along with that in terms of the ability to renew software, not just renew security of a device. For those who might be interested in reading the white paper, if you're familiar with the aka.ms short links, aka.ms/7properties, the number 7 and then the word properties can get you to the white paper that describes the work that was feeding us to build the Azure Sphere product.
So you talked a lot about security.
Yes.
Can we also think of Azure Sphere as an edge computing point where you can do or run different Azure services on, or is it more of a control and updating for your devices?
So it certainly can have compute capability run on top of Azure Sphere. And that's a really interesting thing about the architecture of Azure Sphere. It actually is a multi-core hybrid MCU that we've designed and built with the MediaTek chip and what we're seeing coming with future silicon providers as well. Essentially, we run our operating system to secure the device on an application core, in the case of the MediaTek chip, the A7 core is where we run our Azure Sphere operating system. It's based on a Linux kernel, but it's been customized and modified to be more appropriate for a secure environment as well as for an IoT environment. And what I mean by IoT is we had to make our operating system small enough to run on the chip, as light and low powered as what we're looking at when we talk about the microcontroller class. At the same time, for security, we've done things like taking out usernames and passwords. If you've heard of the Mirai botnet attack that happened in October of 2016, it was an attack on a class of devices, I believe it was an internet-connected security camera, that was able to be perpetrated at scale, if you will. 100,000 devices were attacked, and they were attacked because they all shared the same username, which was root, and a blank password. And so security happens at the base of any implementation. And then on top of that is where you build the functionality for a device to be what you've decided it should be. The challenge with a device like an internet-connected security camera is that it is a general-purpose computing device whose manufacturers have decided it should be a camera. But when you have a processor, when you have storage, and when you have memory, it could just be a botnet that somebody can take over the software and turn it into whatever they want to turn it into. And so doing the job of the device is very important, but making sure that that device can and always will be the device you've designed it to be is where security comes in to be a requirement at the foundational level. And that's what Azure Sphere enables, is essentially a platform to make sure that the devices you build can be and can continue to be operating as you're expecting. And that means doing the job you expect them to do, communicating with the internet endpoints that you're expecting them to communicate with, and continuing to operate as expected. Another exciting thing, I'm sorry, I saw a question coming in from Kale. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry to interrupt. I had another question on the software angle. So as you mentioned, there's partners who are working with us to build the actual silicon and the hardware. But then on the software side, so users that take advantage of this or partners who are building these devices and using this chip inside of it, they then can expect to use like a standard API or some sort of libraries or something to help them, you know, manage these multiple processors like you're talking about?
Absolutely. So we've built a set of development tools that actually run on Visual Studio. It's a huge step forward for microcontroller developers to actually have a development environment as sophisticated as Visual Studio, and yet have it be able to control devices as lightweight as a microcontroller-based device. On that, they can write essentially C code that's operating at the application layer, but it can take advantage of both the operating system as well as a set of services that we've enabled to make things like communication and authentication, sending data over to IoT Hub, et cetera, easier and basically be abstracted so that if we discover a vulnerability at one of those layers, we can fix that and update the operating system software under the application. And in most cases, hopefully eliminate the need to turn the key, to turn the crank on the application running on top of it, if we can keep that, keep containing the fix to the operating system to help keep a device safe and secure. Another exciting thing that we've enabled with Azure Sphere, particularly in the MediaTek chip, but essentially many of the chips that I've seen early thinking around as we grow the ecosystem, is that in addition to that application core where we're running our operating system, we also have enabled a more traditional real-time core along the lines of what a microcontroller would have looked like before Azure Sphere even came onto the scene. And so those real-time cores, like an M4 core, which is what we have in the 3620, can run C code as bare metal, or it could run a real-time operating system, which essentially is like running bare metal code with a set of libraries to help you run that code more efficiently. The inherent vulnerabilities of a real-time core are protected by Azure Sphere because the application core is protecting any activity on that device that's touching the internet, that's touching an IP address. And so you can rest assured that the stable and reliable core code that you write on that real-time core can continue to operate as expected without having to worry about it getting attacked, because the Azure Sphere operating system is protecting it from the other core. Communications between the cores are managed through a set of inter-core communications capabilities that we've lit up for the chip. And so you could run a traditional coffee maker or washing machine set of code on the M core. You can write the communications applications to be able to cloud connect that application on the A core, and they can speak to each other through capabilities we've unlocked with the platform.
So one of the updates we were talking about earlier was on the Microsoft Connected Vehicle platform. And one of the things we're trying to do is autonomous driving. And I was thinking, like, autonomous driving, and now that opens up a new attack point for attackers. Now that another article I was reading about, say they can send false signals to say that there's actually an object in front of you when there isn't. So in terms of an application of Azure Sphere, how would it help in terms of security?
Yes, so that's an interesting case. Automotive is a space that I think is a little bit further ahead of our skis than I can comment on with certainty today. Right now, Azure Sphere is in public preview. We have not gone through our GA milestone yet. We haven't gone through a certain number of a certain set of certifications that I think we would need to have be in place before we could consider actually applying Azure Sphere in an automotive environment, as you're describing. That said, theoretically speaking, certainly, the threat of an outside attack could protect devices that operate underneath that connection point. And so I have seen architectures where Azure Sphere is one of a number of microcontrollers that are part of ultimate product design, because sometimes it makes more sense to connect two microcontrollers to each other with one wire than it would to set up a network of wires from one microcontroller to basically control an entire device like a dishwasher or an oven. And so being able to, if you consider the fact that an automobile tends to have something on the order of, I think, a minimum of 30 microcontrollers, and if we start to look at more technology-driven cars, the rolling smartphones rather than a car that has connectivity enabled in it, if you will, the number of microcontrollers in a device like that starts to grow. And so managing that network, that network of devices inside a car's connection to the outside world, and making sure that you're very careful about what parts of the device can actually talk to the outside world, is incredibly important.
Yeah, sure. Can you talk about some of the current applications that Azure Sphere is deployed to? I know we announced, well, there are some really fascinating demos at Build.
Yeah. So there's some exciting things that are out there, and they fall into a couple of different categories. The first categorization that I would put them into from a taxonomy perspective would be thinking about greenfield IoT versus brownfield IoT. Greenfield IoT is where you build the device, and when you're building it and envisioning it and designing it, you are intending for it to be a connected foo, whatever it is you're building. You're intending for that to be a connected device. And so you have the opportunity to design that connectivity in a deliberate and an intentional way. The challenge on that is it sometimes takes time. And so we are working with a number of OEMs on their connected devices that are working on designing Azure Sphere into what they're building. It's those manufacturers' moments to bring those products actively to market. And given that Azure Sphere is a year old and still in public preview, I don't have a lot I can talk about with specificity of the devices that are actually coming to market very, very soon. On the flip side, on brownfield, the exciting thing about brownfield is you're looking to add connectivity or add secured connectivity to a device that already exists. Especially in something like in an enterprise or an industrial or commercial application, they may already have a device that could be connected and potentially solely because of security have chosen not to connect that device. And so there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to connect those devices because they can drive better efficiency. They can, having data that a piece of equipment might fail in the next 2 weeks means you can deploy service technicians proactively, not on a rush, to check and monitor the maintenance status of a device rather than having to send personnel on an emergency basis to go fix something that's stopped operations. And so the opportunity in the space of brownfield, especially as it relates to commercial and industrial partners, is incredible there. And the exciting thing is it's actually potentially quicker for us to bring those types of offerings to market. We've developed something that we call a Guardian module that's powered by Azure Sphere that essentially can communicate to an existing service port or output on an existing piece of capital equipment, something that might have an Ethernet port or might have a serial port, could connect through RS-45 or something like that. And that connection can send data to an Azure Sphere device that could essentially be strapped to the side of the piece of equipment or even put inside the chassis if there's a space for some sort of an add-in device like that. And then it can communicate either via Ethernet or via Wi-Fi to send data up to the cloud, be able to give that real-time information about the status of that device. We see tremendous opportunity for that in industries ranging from quick serve retail all the way through to, well, not all the way through, but to retail, to manufacturing, and other types of environments like that. Starbucks is a partner of ours who we've worked with on developing a Guardian module to help them add in connectivity to their new class of coffee equipment that they've been rolling out across their stores. And that's probably something you saw at Build, actually, and there was a great demo that they gave of the Mastrena 2 coffee equipment and how Azure Sphere is helping them connect data that's helping with preventive maintenance, helping them with recipe updates for coffee equipment and things like that.
Yeah, Josh, the other question I was thinking about here while you were talking, so you mentioned you have like great integration into development tools like Visual Studio. For someone who's looking to get started with this, whether it be some sort of manufacturer or some sort of vendor, I know they have these dev kits. Can you talk a little bit about what those things are about and what the purpose of those things are for?
Absolutely, yeah. There's actually three versions of a dev kit that are available in the market. Two of them are made by a company called Seed, Seed Studio, I believe that's the full name of the company. And one is made by our partner Avnet, who's also our distributor. Each of those kits has slightly different capabilities enabled with them. The first kit that came to market is the Seed development board that has capability to handle dual-band Wi-Fi, as well as to be able to be connected through pinouts to be able to add on peripherals over GPIO, UART, SPI, I2C, et cetera. Seed also developed a lower cost version of that board that has slightly different capabilities. It actually uses a module that we developed with AI Link on their board to help bring down the cost. It's a single band Wi-Fi, so it only works at 2.4, doesn't work at 5 gigahertz, but it also brings the cost down by close to a half. It's just a little bit over half the price of the original seed board. And so as we talk to design houses who want a prototype at scale, might want to build some sort of a prototype product, but didn't necessarily want to leave something that costs $85 inside a device that, might be a throwaway investment for them, a $40-$45 second seed mini development kit is a great choice to be using there. Avnet has developed a development kit as well, and the benefit of their kit is it has some sensors, and I think it has an onboard accelerometer as well, as well as being compatible with things like micro eClick peripherals. And so certain of the micro eClick plugins just clip on, and you can rest assured that you've made a good connection, and then you can really focus on making your software work. All three of those kits have the same chip at the heart. They're all running the MediaTek MT3620 chip. They have the same flash storage and RAM available as any Azure Sphere chip, because we put that inside the die for Azure Sphere. And so just three good choices that you have to get started, depending on specifically what you're trying to do. Great opportunity to also talk with our sellers in CDS. So CDS is what used to be Microsoft's OEM division. And because Azure Sphere is so focused on devices, a lot of our effort in terms of sales enablement has been focused on device manufacturers. But we're certainly extending, especially as we look at this concept of Guardian modules, extending into the enterprise space and working with enterprise customers to figure out what is their IoT device that they would love to have connected, but for security, and can we come in and can we help and play an assistive role to help them unlock the wealth of data that's represented behind those devices.
Oh, this is great. Is there anything else you want to share with us, Josh, with us? I mean, this has been really enlightening to me to hear all the different kind of things that you guys have been working on in this thing called Azure Sphere. I think sometimes people, you hear the word and you're not even sure what that means. So it was good for you to kind of talk through. It's not just a piece of hardware. It's actually a bunch of things together that's building this platform for secure IoT. So I appreciate you sharing those details. But is there anything else you want to share with us about futures or anything else about the devices or the platform?
I think our big push right now is to be talking with our enterprise customers about Guardian modules, getting that input, especially as we look at faster time to market on how those things can work, really gives us fast feedback to help us improve the product and help us figure out what the next big thing to work on is. So definitely appreciate any interest that comes in, because we are eager to be working with the exciting customers who come across wanting to work with us and seeing the idea of how to make Azure Sphere help them drive secure connected devices.
Super cool. And I know you mentioned a couple AKA links as we were talking through the discussion, so we'll get those from you, and we'll put those in the show notes that get published with Fantastic. The podcast, or our listeners can follow those. And certainly if you want to include any others for our listeners, be sure to include those as well.
Fantastic. Yes.
Yep. But thanks a lot, Josh. This has been, like I said, this has been super enlightening, and I think our listeners will find this super beneficial. So appreciate your time coming on here and talking about this.
Thank you so much, Kale, Cynthia. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.